it's completely unacceptable to question someone's religious beliefs in order to determine whether they're qualified for public office.
This is Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family, designed to better inform listeners about the critical issues of the day and encourage you to be voices of persuasion for family values in your communities. Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. I'm Tracy DeVette Griggs, Communications Director at NC Family, sitting in this week for John Rustin. If you've watched some of the recent confirmation hearings, you've likely been disturbed by questions about religion that were posed to the candidates and suggestions by senators that faith and religion might disqualify that candidate from consideration. Of course, this flies in the face of the U.S. Constitution. Well, Alexandra McPhee is also disturbed by this trend. She is an attorney who is Director of Religious Freedom Advocacy at Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. In response, she wrote a document showing just how big a problem this has become. It's called Rebels Without a Clause, when senators run roughshod over the no religious test clause of the U.S. Constitution. Alexandra McPhee, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Thank you.
Start off by explaining what compelled you to write this report.
This report came about after we noticed a trend emerging from many of the Senate confirmation hearings. Several other individuals and organizations had commented on the inappropriate line of questioning emerging from the confirmation hearings of nominees because of their religious beliefs or congregation membership or affiliation with faith-based nonprofits. After we started this publication, it turned out that the issue is still ongoing. Naomi Rao, who was a judicial candidate for a position on the D.C. Court of Appeals, was interrogated by Senator Cory Booker during her confirmation hearing about her views on homosexuality. So we really thought it was a signal that this was something that people needed to hear, because it was not only a trend in the past, but something that could very well continue into the future if a presidential candidate felt comfortable asking these sorts of questions while airing his candidacy. So we were really glad we were able to pick up on this and really thought that this would be something that could be useful for voters come 2020 when they go to the voting booths. And this shouldn't be something that should just be swept under the rug. We really need people to get the word out and to make sure that everyone knows that it's completely unacceptable to question someone's religious beliefs in order to determine whether they're qualified for public office. So we're hoping that this can be a tool and something that ideally will be used as a reference point for a trend that we see about the role of faith in not only our political process, but in government as well.
Tell us about this report. What will that do for us?
Well, this report, it describes 10 incidents where senators have interrogated nominees about either their theological views, their congregation memberships, or their associations with faith-based nonprofits. And it started in 2017 when Senator Sanders asked questions of a nominee for the Office of Management and Budget about private writing that he wrote in response to a controversy from his alma mater, which was faith-based, and the theological questions involved in that. And Senator Sanders used it as a launching point to label the nominee as incapable of public office because he held certain beliefs about his faith, Christianity, and because the nominee had the audacity to say, Christians will only receive salvation if they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. It didn't stop there. Over the next 2 years until February, senators have been asking nominees questions about the categories that I mentioned. So we list every incident that we found, either in the actual confirmation hearing, in the exchanges between senators and the nominee, or in written questions that were submitted by the senator to the nominee. And what readers will also find is a brief discussion of the no religious test clause. That clause comes from Article 6 of the Constitution, We discuss how senators should be approaching their questioning in order to not only get what they might want out of those questions, which is, well, how do I know this nominee is able to faithfully carry out his or her duties while also maintaining consistency with the text of the Constitution?
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that no religious test clause, specifically what that says?
The clause says that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust. And it came into the public spotlight in the 1900s when an individual pursued public office in Maryland but did not want to make an oath to God. But the Supreme Court said that the Maryland Constitution, which required this affirmation, was unconstitutional, that the action was unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court actually used the First Amendment to decide that question and did not address the actual no religious test clause, Article 6. So it's probably why we haven't heard a lot about it, because it's essentially been swallowed up by the First Amendment. However, it is an important indicator of what the founders wanted in the policy that they held about religion and the role it played in public office. And as Senator Chuck Grassley said when he was serving as chairman for the Senate Judiciary Committee, one of the most important founding principles is that one should be deemed qualified based on their demonstrated ability, not their religious affiliations. That demonstrated ability is what was really key for the founders, because what they wanted was action, and that was most important to them. So that's why this no religious test clause appeared in the Constitution, because they knew that potential individuals for public office might be able to talk the talk, but they couldn't necessarily walk the walk just by saying a couple of words.
So does that mean that nominees can never be asked anything about their personal religious beliefs and motivations?
No. Nominees must be able to carry out their duties in whatever office they pursue. And merely asking a nominee, as one commentator said, about whether their beliefs might stop them from fulfilling their constitutional duties is a relevant question. And that's appropriate. That is not what we're seeing with these confirmation hearings from senators, because these senators are using questions specifically about the nominee's beliefs tied to their faith in order to determine whether they are fit or unfit, and using their responses as a qualifier or disqualifier, as Senator Mike Lee noted, for public office. And the senators are doing so in a way that really demonstrates a lack of integrity in even the questioning process. So with that in mind, it really shows that these senators aren't interested in pursuing the truth, even though there are appropriate ways to find out to make sure that a nominee is able to fulfill their official duties. What they're doing is trying to say that someone's religious belief in the sanctity or life of marriage is something that will be a qualifier or disqualifier for their ability to carry out their public duties.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a radio show and podcast from NC Family. You can sign up to receive an updated podcast each week on iTunes or any podcast app. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
So, Alexander, why do you think this has come about? Why, when religious faith has always been historically a desirable and positive attribute for public service, why is it now considered by some to be a disqualifier, do you think?
Well, what these senators are doing is seeking political gain, and fleeting political gain at that. All of these questions center around issues related to same-sex conduct, same-sex marriage. They relate to the so-called right to abortion. And in many cases, if not all, the senators will ask the nominee about their faith-based organization, about comments from their pastor, from their church, because of statements that may go against what they insist should be the orthodox view of the LGBT community or the abortion rights community. So because many faiths are against anything that goes against the sanctity of marriage or life. It's really being used as leverage to try and paint nominees as discriminatory and incapable of carrying out their duties, which is just completely untrue.
I'm assuming that you would think that this should absolutely not dissuade voters, individual voters, from taking into consideration the religious faith of candidates for office when they vote for them.
Absolutely. And what we know is that when one carries their faith into their official capacity, it's important because faith is what tells us to be honest, to have integrity. And it is an important component of one's worldview to the extent that so often religions demand a higher standard of conduct. So voters should keep this in mind. And the issue is when senators are using religious affiliation alone as a qualifier. And what really matters is the person's conduct. We know that faith and religion demand certain things and demand a higher quality of conduct. But what we know about faith and about people, it's just something that the voters can use, but senators cannot abuse.
Talk a little bit about how this is going to affect people who are genuine believers, who have a genuine faith. What will these attacks on people of faith and Christians do to the likelihood of these individuals going into public service?
One of the underlying ideas of these questions is that faith is incompatible with public office, or it needs to be put aside. It's the idea that one's religious beliefs can only be exercised in the home or house of worship, but nowhere else. And it really puts faith in a box. And that's just not what believers are called to do. And it's not what our founders wanted. The First Amendment of the Constitution says you have the right to the free exercise of religion. And they aren't saying that you have the right to believe whatever's between your ears. Anyone can guarantee that. China can guarantee that. All of the governments hostile to religious freedom around the world can give you that. And as a result, demanding that someone put aside their religious beliefs to public office in order to what they claim will allow them to carry out their public duties is just anathema to what we have been given, not only by God, the ability to believe and act in our beliefs, but what the Constitution recognizes and wanted to protect from government interference. So what this does is perpetuate the idea that religion does not have a place in the public square. But that's not true. We know that someone of faith carries out their beliefs into every aspect of their life, including their profession. So whenever a nominee goes up before a group of senators and is interrogated about their beliefs, that's no different from someone going to a job interview and being asked, completely unrelated to that, what are your views on homosexuality? What are your views on abortion? Does that mean you're going to, and it's completely inappropriate because it implies that your beliefs about something will affect how you treat someone, and that is that you'll treat them negatively because of the fact that they don't conduct themselves according to how you believe your faith demands that you conduct yourself. But that's not what faith does. It commands love towards others. Christianity commands love towards others. So to imply that is incompatible with public office really creates an unhealthy belief in faith and its role in the public square for believers, and should be rebuked.
Good. Well, we're just about out of time for this week. So before we go, Alexandra, where can our listeners go to read your report, Rebels Without a Clause, and learn more about all the good work that the Family Research Council does?
They can go to www.frc.org/religious-tests. That's religious tests, plural, no hyphens, no spaces.
Gotcha. Okay, well, Alexandra McPhee, thank you so much for being with us today on Family Policy Matters.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast from NC Family. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.